Derailed by distraction is what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. In the book of Romans chapter 8, just going to read one verse of scripture, so since you just sat down, you don't have to get up. Huh? Well, sit down then. I don't care if you want to stand, that's fine. Nothing like a mouthy wife. I've had her so long, I'm kind of used to her, though, by now. I took her out on a date Friday night. We went to Olive Garden to eat some of that food. Now, I don't even like it that well. But you do a lot of things to keep peace, right? I love her. She's a precious soul, I'll tell you that. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse number 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Let's pray, and you can be seated this time. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And thank you, God, for all these wonderful people that are here this morning. Thank you, God, for those that didn't get to make it this morning. We pray for them, God, that you move in a special and glorious way. Lord, we pray a special prayer for Sister Debbie this morning. It had a rough night, God, that you would give her a speedy recovery. And we know, God, that you're able to do this. Lord, I have two sisters. I pray for them this morning also, that they get their legs fixed where they're having problems and all this. And I ask, God, you bless us. Help us to keep our life straight and do your will. And I give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for it all. In the lovely name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. All right. One translation says, "Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with a measure of their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them that find God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God." Today, it seems we have so many distractions because we are so busy. Busy, busy, busy. Did you ever watch a beehive? They're busy, busy, busy all the time. They're working hard, but we're not bees, folks. Distractions can it can actually cause spiritual death if we get too distracted. So what can we do that to stop some of the hindrance and the real growth? Well, we can realize that sometimes we have to take account and understand that we are in charge of a lot of things that we just let get out of hand. And we don't need that. We hear so much today about distractions while driving. Do you ever see any distractions while you're driving? Well, I sure do. I know that. I heard of a man driving and smoking. He dropped his cigarette and was reaching down to find it and wrecked. And another one was driving and looking for a CD, and he ran off the road and tore down a mailbox. For many years, alcohol and drugs has been the number one killer in car accidents. Even eating while driving can distract our attention. Did you ever try to drink hot coffee driving in a styrofoam cup? That is death. Don't do it. Get you a sippy cup. I don't care if they do call you a baby. Sip it if you must. Best thing, wait till you get out of the car, though, right? Yeah, I thought. One preacher tells about, and he says that, "I left the house one morning to drive 150 miles to do a funeral. I drove about a mile, and a lady pulled right out in front of me and drove about 5 miles an hour for several miles. She was in the right lane, then she was in the left lane, and then back and forth, and she ran a stop sign at a busy intersection, and wow, she was swerving all over the road. She finally got up to 10 miles an hour, and I started to call the police. But then the lane was open, and I started to pass her, and she ran me off the road. I laid heavily on the horn. When I was alongside her, I looked, and she was texting on her phone. 3 times she almost hit me. She never recognized how dangerous her texting really was. Distractions and disruptions can really hinder good progress and safety. Thousands of accidents occur each year, and so many are unreported. It is estimated that over 1 million injury accidents a year come from being distracted. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. We need to understand that driving is serious. It's nothing to play around with. I remember my dad, he used to be a carpenter, and he was also a farmer, and he liked to check everything out as he's going down the road. And mom's name was Mamie, and she would say, "Herman, watch where you're going." "Oh, Mamie, I'm watching." She said, "Yeah, you're watching over in the field at that cow, or you're looking at that building and all this, seeing all the things that you'd have done if it had been you building instead of the other person. You're looking to see if your crop's big as the other person's crops. You need to be careful. You're going to get us all killed." "Oh, Mamie, I'm watching." But he really wasn't watching like he should. You know, if you look one way, that's the way your eyes is going to be focused in that direction. And if you're facing somebody or meeting somebody, it's very easy for you to wander over in their lane, and it just takes a split second and you're gone. So you have to be extra careful. Can you say amen? So to change a distraction, drivers must, they must be careful. But there's more drivers under the age of 25. They talk about older people having wrecks, and we do, you know, older people do. But most of the wrecks comes with people under 25, the majority of the wrecks. And the question was asked, how come that younger drivers are having more accidents than the older drivers? Well, it's plain and simple. They're so energetic, they think they can sing the blues and drive, and they think they can, yay, woo-hoo, or whatever, close their eyes and everything, and then it happens. Well, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I do know one thing, that you never know who you're going to meet on the road. You best be watching the other guy at all times. Can you say amen? They may be on their side, and then they may be on your side. And somebody may be passing you and cut you off real quick and all of this. Especially in these big cities and all this. And even Richmond is so bad anymore. They'll cut you off. They'll whip around and all of this. And you have to brake real quick. And then somebody's liable to hit you in the back. So it's a dangerous situation. But while I desire to warn you about this, my heart is to focus on spiritual distractions that derail our spiritual lives. Folks, there are so many things that distract us from our spiritual life. So how easy it is to allow interruptions to become distractions that limit our spiritual progression. We need to wake up and realize these interruptions and distractions hinder the growth of our faith, that even eventually lead far away from God's plan for our lives. Everybody seems to get so busy, they forget about God. You say, does that really happen? Look all through the Bible, folks. Everything would be going smooth. All through the old Bible, there was all kinds of people that it seems that they would kind of drift away, and there'd be one person that would actually wake up and realize that they were being distracted, and they would pour their heart out to God, and God would have mercy on the entire nation. And he would bless them, and they would realize where they were at for a long time, but then all of a sudden it seems they got so busy. They got busy with things God blessed them with. They got so busy with things that they thought had to be done, and they forgot about God. And the first thing you know then, they are so slack and inconsiderate with serving God that they begin to do things and say things and that they shouldn't do. And after a while then, nothing is sin, it seems. They just go on about their own presumptuous way. They think they can get by with anything then, and God is not going to punish them, and God is not going to touch them. God is not going to do anything because they wandered away and they went astray. Listen, folks, God sees us, and it saddens his heart. And I can imagine sometimes the tears must fall from his face as he looks down and sees what kind of shape that some of us have gotten ourselves into because of distractions. Distraction will lead you in the wrong direction. Did you ever start to read your Bible and the next thing you know, it's so mentally, well, there's so many things that distract you that it seems the work of God is a chore, and there's little joy in reading the Word of God. I remember a person that every time they'd start to read the Word of God, they'd fall asleep. They'd just fall asleep. Well, I don't understand why I'm just falling asleep every time I read the Word of God. It must not be too interesting, right? Did your husbands ever have your wives talking to them and nod off a little? Did you ever do that? Come on, don't be a chicken. Go ahead and say amen if you did. I'll say amen, oh me. Are you asleep? Huh? Yeah, I was asleep. Yeah, might as well just own up to it. But every time it seems that we're studying and getting ready to study and do something, there's some kind of distraction that will distract our mind and try to hinder us from gaining knowledge in God's Word. So what's really happening? Well, Galatians 5 and 7 says, you did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Did you ever come to the point that it seems that your prayers are hindered? Did you ever come to the point that you seem like that your prayers is not even leaving the top of your head? Did you ever get to the point that you seem like that God is not listening to your prayer because it's just not getting there? You're praying and you're seeking God, but it seems you're just not getting there. Well, could it be that there's some kind of hindrance? Do you have trouble focusing your attention to pray? You know, I tell you what, folks, there's so many things that can distract us from prayer. 1 Peter 3 and 1 tells us about this, and I know a lot of times distraction comes from husbands and wives too. But 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. Fussing and feuding, husbands and wives, is not good. It will not make you closer to God. Am I telling the truth? Everybody's going to have their disagreements. Everybody's going to have their little spats occasionally. But I want to tell you, this the Bible talks about, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The best thing you can do is get it on the blood real quick. Ask somebody, hey, it don't matter if it's your fault or not. Meet over halfway if you have to and get everything settled and go on to bed and go to sleep. Then kiss them goodnight and go to sleep. Wake up the next morning refreshed. Look over and smile and say, I love you, and keep moving. Don't allow one little thing to stop the whole show. Can you say amen? being good. Hey, we need to understand this. Your husband, he says first, likewise your husband, dwell with them in your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel. So, hey, it's amazing to me, and I'm going to throw this out. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. It's amazing to me that I see sometimes, I see a big, strong-looking husband, and here will come a little wife, and she'll have a baby on her hip, a diaper bag strapped across, and maybe trying to lead another kid. And here this big dude is, he's walking along. And here she is trying to keep up, carrying all that load. And he opens the door, he don't even hold it open, lets it slam back in her face. Is that a good husband? I think he's a low down. What would be a good word? What was that?
Turkey.
I was aiming to say skunk. Well, anyway, you know it's not very nice to do that, right? So, hey, if she's a weaker vessel, maybe you ought to carry the baby. Sometimes I see husbands then. They'll even be carrying the diaper bag. They'll have a kid on their neck, around their shoulders, carrying them, and maybe leading one along. And now I see these husbands, they got this little outfit. We didn't have any when our kids were growing up. They strap across their back, and they carry the little baby right here in front, turn face forward. And that little baby would be just a kicking and a laughing and all this, or it'd be crying maybe. And here that husband is, he's walking along, carrying that baby like this. Lord, have mercy. I think that's a good invention that they came up with, don't you? But we need to understand our wife is the weaker vessel, or supposedly the physical, even though they're strong in a lot of other ways, and we thank God for them, don't we, church? Praise God. So how easy it is to derail and to weaken your daily spiritual life, to become flusterated and more flusterated, it seems, and sometimes it'll bring us to doom ourselves. But I like what Matthew 10:10 says. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, folks, we're living in a time that we're going to be distracted, we're going to be offended, and it seems that a lot of people have lost their first love, but we need to go back to the altar and realize that, hey, God is love, is he not? Let me give you another translation. This, I thought it was really amazing, of the same verses of Scripture. And then go from bad to worse. It will be dog eat dog, everyone at each other's throat, everyone hating each other in confusion. Lying preachers will come forth and deceive a lot of people. For many others, the overwhelming spread of the evil will do them in. Nothing lets their love but of mounts of ashes. Staying with it, that's why God requires staying with it to the end, you will not be sorry and you'll be saved. And I thought this was a kind of an odd translation, but it's another translation of the Bible. And I thought I'd share that with you because sometimes we need to kind of look at both just to get maybe a little different view. But derailing means to run. It can cause us to run off track. Did you ever feel like you were running off track? Did you ever start walking somewhere and feel like that you started wobbling and whatever? And maybe, and as I find I'm getting older, sometimes I wobble a little, maybe when I walk. I'm not a duck, but I still wobble. But still yet, I thank God that he can help us through all of this. Pride and selfishness will also derail spiritual progress. Pride will make it seem like the earth is iron and the heavens are brass. But Proverbs 16:18 reads like this: pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Folks, we need to understand that there's a lot of things that can hurt us, and one thing is that we get so proud and feel like that we're so much better than somebody else that we can get ourselves in trouble. And then there's materialism. Materialism will derail your train or your way of thinking and the way you're going. It can do this. And I like this little thing that I used to see on Popeye the Sailor Man. None of you probably never seen that before. But I deserve this now. I want you to throw this in because I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say about this. Everybody seems they deserve things now. Let's not wait on it. I want it now. Mommy, I want it now. Did you ever see a kid laying down kicking in Walmart? I want it now, Mommy. I want it now. But honey, I don't have the money. We'll have to wait to get her check. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. Well, you can be embarrassed or you can embarrass the kid. Either one you like to do, and that's up to you. But we need to understand that. But notice Popeye's friend, Wimpy, he said, I'll gladly repay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. He wanted a hamburger today, and he'd pay him Tuesday, and that was his saying. Well, sometimes if we're not careful, we want to put everything off to pay later, and this gets us in trouble. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So how many pairs of shoes is enough? And I'm going to touch that lightly. Is success how many square feet in your house? How many do you think makes you a better person? What kind of car do you drive? Do you have to drive one of the fanciest cars, or you try to compete with somebody else? How many toys do you have? How many toys do you have? Hey, I'm talking about adults have toys they play with all the time. Four-wheelers and other things, right? I just use that, throw that in. But whatever it is, there's a lot of toys that people, adults have that they distract them from a lot of stuff. But we need to understand some of this stuff we really don't have to have. And we don't need to have to put ourselves in such a bind to pay for something that we really don't need. So we need to get real, and we don't need to be worrying about and have panic attacks and all of this about some things that distracts us and disrails us. We need to do like it says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt you in due season. Cast all your cares upon him, for he, meaning Jesus, careth for you. Folks, plain and simple, he cares for us. He don't want us to be distracted. We're living in one of the most devastating times that we've ever lived in our entire life. But it's fulfilled in the Bible. It talks about that there wouldn't be a shortage of Word of God. It talks about this. But there'd be a shortage of people hearing the Word of God. And this is the thing that we need to understand. A lot of people take the Word of God and they ignore the Word of God. More Word is spread around the world, and the gospel is spread around the world than it's ever been known in history. But we need to understand something, folks. Hey, we can ignore that and get immune to it because it's there. Have you ever been distracted by noise? I'll tell you what, Sister Gordon, I got a scare this week. I ordered a piece to go on my leaf thing, a Thatcher, and we didn't know that they had delivered it. We know they're supposed to deliver it, but they delivered it a day early, and they set it up against something out on the porch. And all of a sudden, that thing fell over. What? She said, what was that? Sound like something blowed up. I thought, Lord, is somebody throwed a stick of dynamite at the house or what? Preachers are not exempt to stuff like that either. And I thought, Lord, my heart started beating, and I didn't know whether to open the door or what. But I opened the door and peeped out, and there that big long package was. It whopped and hit the floor on the porch. And it sounded like a dynamite went off. I said, my goodness, here's what it is. Well, we can get scared. Noise can distract us, can't it? Have you ever tried to read the Bible while watching TV? It don't work too well, does it? Seriously, does it? Oh, that's my favorite program. I'll read the Bible. I'll study it a little bit while I'm watching my program. And then the first thing you know, you're watching your program, but you're not reading the Word of God. You're looking at the TV and you listen to what the TV says, and you, how in the world can you watch the TV and listen and get all that in your head, and while you're trying to concentrate on the Word of God? Best thing you can do, folks, is find you a good quiet place, turn the noise off, shut the door if you have to or whatever. Hey, I'm telling you, you can be distracted by a lot of different noises. Concentrating on the Word of God is so important, folks. Day after day, we plan to pray more, and the noise bearer is hindered. Sin, greed, lust will separate us from the love of God. We can have such good intentions, but we can get so distracted by noise and all of this. But folks, the good part about it is there's a remedy. There's a remedy for everything that's distracting us. We just have to learn sometimes when to turn the radio off, when to turn the computer off, when to turn the iPhone off, when to turn whatever it is. If there's a whole lot of noise and you just need some peace and quiet, hey, talk to your companion. If you need a babysitter, hey, listen, honey, would you take care of the kids just for a little while? I just need to be alone with God. And I'll tell you, folks, if they're even interested in your growing and spiritually, they'll do it. They'll help you out. But what about me? Well, I want to tell you something, folks. I like what Trish said about mowing the grass. That's one of the greatest times. Nobody's going to get out there because you throw grass on them. Nobody's not going to make noise because, hey, they don't want to get out there and have grass thrown all over them or anything like this. This is a good time to be alone with God. God can ride a lawnmower too, you know it? You think God would ride a lawnmower? Sure, He rides it. He lives in your heart. If you're riding a lawnmower, He'll be riding a mower with you. He'll be talking to you all during the time that you're riding a mower. You can be praying, seeking God. So, hey, if I could get Sister Gordon to mow like that, she could get a lot of praying in, couldn't she? She said, just forget it. Well, that's okay. Well, I'll just forget it for right now. 2 Timothy 3:4 says, and I'm closing with this. Would you come on to the music, please? It says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, unfaithful, and it will always derail your growth and progress. Do you believe that? Amen. Luke 12:42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward who his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Folks, we need to examine ourselves. Why haven't we gotten closer to the Lord? What has been hindering us? What has been holding us back? That we're not, people say, I used to be so close to the Lord. It just feel like He just right there all the time. Well, I want to tell you folks, hey, it's like husband and wife. Boy, I tell you what, I used to love those big long seats and pickup trucks and cars and all of this and went all the way across. I just loved to go around a curve and go around real fast that way, and they didn't have seat belts in. Sister Gordon just slide right over real close. And then they come up with those bucket seats. That's the worst invention they ever come up with, was bucket seats. And then they come up with seat belts, and they strap you in. Did you ever try to reach over and maybe at a red light or something, you just want a little kiss from your wife? And do you ever try to reach over and the shoulder strap around, and she's over there? So I'm telling you, folks, sometimes it don't work out too good. But seatbelts saves lives. They can't reach over and hit you as much either. I love you this morning, church. There's a lot of things you know and I know that distract us from serving God. Distract us from things that we need to be doing for the Lord. So this morning would be a good time just to come and say, Lord, I want to lay some of this stuff down that's been distracting me. And I want to get back on track. And I want to be as close to you, God, as I used to be. God, I know you haven't left me, but I've just scooted over and have been tied down in that bucket seat. So take that seat belt off this morning and just come onto the altar and let God touch your life. He'll help you. Would you stand all over the building this morning if you're able? What a great and a wonderful God we serve. Thank you, wonderful God. Father, touch us this morning. Help us, God, to come and pour our heart out to you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. The altar's open if you come. Come on, praise God, everyone that would.